Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to the book of Ruth, find the book of Judges, and then go to the book of Ruth as quickly as you can. Four short chapters folded into the Old Testament. We have been studying, I have been preaching what was meant to be a single sermon on chapter 3. This has turned into the fourth sermon, and there's four chapters, and this is the final sermon. I'm expecting today to be able to wrap this up. Now, I've been teaching and preaching hermeneutically, I've been taking apart the scripture and preaching the word of God these last three Sundays. This morning, what I desire to do is just help us to bask in the doctrine that has already been preached and remind you of some great truths that are here for every born again child of God. Now, it's been good in Ruth, and it's kind of gotten us through the heart of winter. After this, we are going to the book of Nehemiah. And it's time to go to war. It's time to get active. We're coming into the springtime months, and there's a whole lot to do. We need to earnestly contend for the faith. We need to fight like we are the third monkey going up the ramp into Noah's Ark. And brother, it's starting to rain. We got to be that kind of people. We have got to be motivated like our hair is on fire. There's a job to do, and we're quickly running out of time. And I'm praying that now this morning we're gonna kind of swim in the goodness of God. But next Sunday morning, we're gonna hit the book of Nehemiah. And I'm trusting in that short series, I'm not gonna go one sermon, one chapter in the book of Nehemiah. But in the short series of Nehemiah, we'll all be stirred to action. We'll all be reminded of the great task that we've been called of God to do as far as the church of Jesus Christ. Let me read just a couple of verses out of chapter 4. No, you know what? Let me read a couple of verses out of chapter 1. Then I'm going to skip ahead. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Let's all stand together. Everybody standing. And a certain man named of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. If you've been here, and this is the fourth Sunday in a row you've been here, you got a pretty good grasp on the book of Ruth if you've been following along. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, and Elimelech means my God is king, and the name of his wife, Naomi, which means pleasant or delightful, and the name of his sons, Mahlon, that means song, and Chilion, that means maturity, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Remember that first sermon? That was a problem. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died and was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. That's a risky thing. And the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Father, we come to you this morning, and I pray that you would hit us right between the eyes with this message this morning. I pray, God, that it wouldn't have to be anything more than that to get our attention, that the Word of God would grip our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would take Scripture this morning when we get to the meat of this message and just remind us of great Bible truths, and God, may it draw us closer to you. May we love you more as a result, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First sermon, hope for the wanderer. You remember that. There was bread in Bethlehem, and a famine came into the land, and Elimelech took his wife. He became a wanderer. He went to the devil's country. He went to the Moabites. He went to the land of Moab, southwest of Judah. There was a great famine. He dwelt there. He stayed there. For 10 years, he died there. Not only did he die there, but his sons died there as well. 10 years, 120 months, 3,650 days out of the will of God. There was bread in Bethlehem, and there was famine in Moab. There was joy in Bethlehem, and there were tears in Moab. There was death in Moab. There was life in Bethlehem. And finally, everything is taken away. All that's left is Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And that second message was getting close to Jesus. And it was all about worship. And the most sacred place on earth is at the feet of our Redeemer. The third message was God's epic love story. And that is the story of the kinsman Redeemer and Ruth, a complete outsider. She is loved by the kinsman Redeemer, has no right to be there. We, as a church of Jesus Christ, are not a people, but we're brought to the kinsman Redeemer who loves us before we even knew his name. He loved us, and he died for us, and he paid for all of our debt, and we're the bride of Christ as the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what Ruth ends up being to Boaz. And Boaz, that epic love story, is the kinsman Redeemer. This morning, the message is all of this, and heaven too. I don't want to get bogged down. You know, I too easily go on rabbit trails. I'm not going to read any more in chapter 1. I'm not going to read any more in chapter 2. I'm not going to read any more in chapter 3 because there's a lot I want to share with you out of chapter 4. So if you'll page over to that fourth chapter and go all the way down to the ninth verse, we'll get right to the meat of the message this morning. It's titled, All This and Heaven Too. What happens all too often is, you've heard me say this before, we that are born again, we know where we're going, but we don't know who we are and what we have. And I want to draw your attention this morning to the goodness of God and all that God has given to us right now in the life that we're now living. And some of you, you're living, it's like you're in the land of Moab. It's like you're distant from God, a land far away from God, and you've left the truth. And I want to bring you back. I want to remind you how good God has been to you and what we have in Jesus Christ. Let me read just a few verses. 2 Peter 1:3, He hath given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Jeremiah 29:11, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, toward thee, and thoughts of peace and not of evil give I unto you. James 1:17, Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Exodus 34 and verse 6, The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid upon them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust thee before the sons of men. It does pay to live for God before the sons of men. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I remind you this morning that God is good to sinners that are saved by grace. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 23 and just look at two verses. Psalm 23, and I love these two verses. I alluded to them 2 weeks ago. Verse 5 says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. The psalmist David is an old man when he writes the 23rd Psalm. And he looks back in the rear view mirror of life, and he said, God, You've prepared before me, before my enemies, for me, a table in the wilderness. You have always met my need. God, you anointest my head with oil. I've known richness. And my cup runneth over down into the saucer. And then he says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The message this morning, all this in heaven too, is that surely goodness and mercy all the days of my life. It's that point today where we live on this earth. Now we know that heaven awaits us. We know that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We know that Abraham and the saints of old searched for a city whose builder and maker is not made with man's hands, but whose builder and maker is God. We know there's a celestial New Jerusalem, the holy city, waiting for us in all of eternity and all of the joys that go along with that. But we live right now on this earth. That's the sweet by and by. But this is the nasty now and now. And I want to remind you this morning that God is good. And God is meeting your need. And if you would get yourself under the spout where the glory comes out, if you would get yourself in the middle of God's will for your life, you would understand, my cup runneth over. Man, it's been goodness and mercy every day of my life, even in the tough times, God is there for me. I have a family that I never had until I got born again. I have brothers. I have sisters. And it's a great family. It's called the family of God. Verse 9 of chapter 4 in the book of Ruth. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, who's dead, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses to this day. I am a child of God, and I do not deserve to be there. But as many as received him, John 1:12, to them give you the power to become the sons of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. You talk about the goodness of God. You talk about having something I do not deserve and being part of something I do not deserve to be a part of. Verse 9 says in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. One more verse. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Nobody's becoming somebody. Paul said to the believers at Rome, we are like that wild olive branch that has been, we don't have no right to be there, and we've been grafted into the vine, and now we bear fruit. We are members of the family of God, more specifically, the church of Jesus Christ. I have a family that I do not deserve to be a part of. But God is good to me, and he meets my needs, and we laugh in this family, and we cry in this family. We bear one another's burdens in this family. And we're not all a bunch of takers. Many of us are givers. And all of us are takers at one point or another because we need help. But man, be a giver in the family of God. Allow God to use you and be a blessing to your brethren. Amen. Ask Tyler this morning. He's here. He put out that prayer request. Man, they found a cyst in my brain. I don't know. Boy, I'm so afraid. It's Pastor, it's going to be cancerous. Would you get everybody praying? Everybody prayed. The doctor report came back. Man, there were pins and needles. The doctor came back. The report came back from the doctor. It wasn't cancerous. Praise God. Amen. That's being able to go to the brothers and sisters. As Jason this morning in surgery this last week, and he prayed, oh God, please don't let this be cancer again. And he got all the brethren praying for him, and it's the family of God. And we prayed for him on Wednesday night. We prayed for him on Saturday night with a bunch of preachers. We even anointed him with oil as far as the leaders of the church, the elders of the church. And God answered that prayer, and he got word this week that it hadn't gone any farther, and they took everything out, and it's not cancerous, and praise God. That is the family of God. We laughed. I got a text from a man in the church, Pastor, pray for Ron. I just led him to Christ. I just led him to Jesus. Man, that's the family of God. That's what it's about. We know what it is to laugh. I do want to point something out in the bulletin. If you take time to read it later, this is the kind of family we live in. Nursery workers, here's opportunities of ministry. Please contact Shannon Crawford. Sunday school workers, please contact Caroline May. Decorating, please contact Carissa Cowan. MBA toilet fixing, please contact Pastor Rader. What is that about? What is that about? That's the family we live in, man. It's the family of God. We found out last Saturday that 80 of us went bowling, and we found out who the world's best bowler was. Hey, Derek, here's your trophy, man. Right here. This is wonderful. Superstar bowler, 2023, Fundamental Baptist Church. And I wouldn't share the name of Brother Randy Royer's wife, but Fundamental Baptist Church, world's worst bowler ever, 2023. So you guys, we're not going to go through this again. I got to ask this. Tracy, when you came in this morning, did you see the trophies up here? You knew what was coming? That's the family of God. That's what we're about. And praise the Lord. You know, so here's Ruth. She's a Moabitess. She is of a the she's part of a nation that is the result of an incestuous relationship between drunken Lot and his daughter. She was born and raised in a nation that worshiped all kinds of false idols. They were idol worshipers, so far from the Jehovah God of the Bible. And God, in his mercy, she adopts her into his family, and now she's part of the family of God. She becomes the great-grandmother of King David. Man, that's an amazing thing to be part of the family of God. And God is so good to us. Go to Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Man, I thank the Lord tremendously for his many blessings on my life. I thank the Lord that I have brothers and sisters that I can call on at the drop of a hat, and they're there to minister. It's not like we've all arrived, and it isn't like we all sometimes do the wrong thing and neglect the wrong people, and you know, we're not omniscient, we don't see everything, but praise God, we're adopted, we've been engrafted into the family of God. 2:19 of Ephesians, now therefore ye are no more strangers, Moabites, and foreigners, upers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It says in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together. We're here by design. God saved us on purpose. And we fit right into the family of God. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Man, we come to the church house this morning, and we get to be church. We get to be the family of God. We get to be that people that undeserving, stranger, foreigner, alien. I have no right to God. None whatsoever. That wild olive vine branch grafted into the vine, Jesus Christ himself. Man, that's a wonderful truth. And that's where we are today, right now. And it's all of this and heaven too. And I understand sometimes we don't always get along. Sometimes we don't understand one another. You know, we're going to spend eternity with one another, but we'll be perfected at that time. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Heaven's to come. Best is yet to come. But right now we got family. You are not alone. You're not alone in this world of darkness. Not only family, but fortune. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Turn over there if you would. I'll read out of Ruth and verse 11. Says, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. We gain fortune when we're adopted into the family of God. Romans in chapter 8. Turn over there as quickly as you possibly can. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Or joint heirs with Christ. All things are Christ, and we are Christ, the scripture says, and all things are ours. That is in the Bible. That is in Corinthians. You understand that we have gained great riches in heaven with Jesus Christ. That's a pauper to a prince. That's a rags to riches story. That is a beggar to a child of privilege. What a life we get to live. And that's for the glory of God. Fortune. Never envy the pennies of the world. It is cheap plastic costume jewelry. It'll never last. And you'll break it before you ever have it very long. But the riches we have in Christ, man, that's real. And that's forever. Many born again children of God do not know. They know where they're going, but they don't know who they are and what they have. I never thought I would be here. I never thought I would have this. I never thought I'd be in a pulpit. I never thought I'd have the family that I have. The family of God that I have. I never dreamed with my wildest dreams when I was a young man that God was going to do with my life what he has done. And he'd have done more if I was more surrendered. God is good. I'll say it again. Do not envy the pennies of the world. They're slipping through their fingers quicker than they can earn them. And forget about the jewelry. It's costume jewelry. And it'll burn, it'll melt with all the other plastic in this world. We have fortune in Christ. Boaz was said to be a mighty man, chapter 2. Our Savior, our kinsman redeemer, his name is Jesus. He's a mighty man. He's God the Son. And we have everything he has. Paul said that to the church of Corinth. All things are Christ. We're Christ. We have all things. We have that silver spoon in our mouth. We are blessed of God. We are as blessed as we desire to get close to God. God blesses us just that much. There's a lot of things I was going to look at here, and we're going to move on. Fruitfulness. That happens right now. Look at verse 13. So Boaz, I'm in chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. Go over to John in chapter 14. Gospel of John in chapter 14. Some familiar verses, some of these verses are not familiar. We are to multiply. We are to reproduce. When we get to the book of Nehemiah next week, I'm going to start hammering that home. We're to be soul winners. We're to be disciplers. We're to be people that carry the light. We're going to see it right in the life of Nehemiah and the life of the captivity and the people coming back from the captivity and the walls being rebuilt and how God used them and all of those great nuggets, those golden nuggets, those truths that we find in the book of Nehemiah. We are to be fruitful as children of God. Look what it says in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That is Jesus. He said, I'm going to be the advocate. I am going to be the mediator. And because I'm going to the Father, and I bestow upon you the Holy Spirit of God at salvation, you'll be able to do greater works than I did on this earth while I was here. It'll be multiplied over again and again and again. Chapter 15, and look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We are to be a fruitful people of God. The best and greatest days of the church are in front of us, not behind us. You don't do God any favors by bemoaning all for the good old days. How about right now being used of God? How about right now getting right with God and asking God to use you again? How about right now being that Philadelphia church and that New Testament child of God that bears the name Christian and wear it proudly and wear it powerfully and be anointed by God the Holy Spirit, and God just takes over. Just like it's time to go to war, to earnestly contend for the faith. Right? I said it right at the beginning of the message, just like that third monkey going up the ramp to Noah's Ark. Yeah, and it's starting to rain right now. Now it's time to get serious. As a child of God, that's a fictitious thing, by the way. I don't think three monkeys tried to make it up the ramp. But that's the attitude we ought to have. We need to be fruitful right now. We bear a mighty name. Go back to, again, the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth. And chapter 4 and verse 14. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Our God, the sweetest name on earth. His name is Jesus. I'm his son. I'm not deity. I'll never be deity. I'm just that sinner, that wretched man saved by grace. Never a week goes by where somehow, some way, those words don't come out of my lips multiple times. Were it not for Jesus Christ, you're looking at a wretched man. Vile. But Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Our kinsman redeemer. What a God we serve. and we're to glorify him. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 31. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. No Nebuchadnezzar here. Don't let that happen in your life. Don't ever get to the place where, look what I've done. Look, I've looked at myself up by my own bootstraps. Look at what I got done today. What a mighty man I am. No, man, that is so far from the truth. Don't turn into Nebuchadnezzar. Be a man of God. Be a woman of God. I want to live in such a way that my grandkids will see Grandpa walk by and they'll be able to think in their hearts, there goes a man of God. Amen. Man, I so want to honor God. And there goes a woman of God. There goes a man of God. Our kinsman redeemer is famous. Our kinsman redeemer is a mighty man. Our kinsman redeemer he receives all the glory and all of the praise. And I want people to walk, to drive by Fundamental Baptist Church and say, there's a church where God's at work. Man, it all goes to him, all to the glory of God. May it never be that Nebuchadnezzar thing. May it never be, oh, it's us, we're getting it all done. No, that's not the case. It's Jesus. And let's make sure we give him the glory. And then our future. Let's go back to Ruth again. Verse 15 of chapter 4. Verse 15 of chapter 4. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. What a God we serve. King David could look back at his lineage and say, God has been good to my family. I want that in my lineage. I want that for this church. If we ever get to the place where we're proud and arrogant and think we've done it all and we have it all and we don't need God anymore, it's over, man. It's Ichabod. It's over. We need revival. I do sense it's been a long, hard, dark winter. I do sense that some people, their love for God is waning just a little bit, and we're straying just a little bit. Understand this. Let this, get your mind around this. This can be a good life. Let's not choose Moab. Let's choose Bethlehem. There's bread there. There's life there. There's joy there. And let's remember, the best is yet to come. All this and heaven too. Family, fortune, fruitfulness, fame, future. For the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going to happen in the very near future, government-wise. I don't know what's going to happen in the distant future. I do. I know what the Bible teaches about that. But the near distant future, man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to live to be 66. I don't know if I'm going to live to be 70. I don't know how much time I have in this earth, how much time you have in this earth, how much time before Jesus comes again. I don't understand all of that, but I have a great kinsman redeemer. And I know my future is settled and it's secure. It's forever. What a great salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Let's get all the work done for God we possibly can.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.